Eighth lecture of Dornach, 9th of January 1924. Rudolf Steiner starts by saying, "My dear friends, it is naturally only possible to indicate things here in a more aphoristic way. Above all, it is necessary to understand that you do not really intend to heal against the workings of karma. This must in the main be the mood of soul of the doctor. The doctor's gesinnung, a gesinnung means a mood of a soul, the doctor's gesinnung must actually go in the first questions of wanting to heal, must go in two directions. The first is the invincible will of karma. This karma will is needed by the doctor above all things for himself. Because you have seen, my dear friends, that which the doctor applies for his patient in a certain way, there is lost for the effect is lost for him himself. To be sure, it can again be transformed for him in the effect. I don't know what Dr. Steiner means by that sentence. It can be transformed. Gewiss ist kann wiederum in Wirkung für ihn umgewandelt werden. Certainly it can again in working for him be transformed. In the first, Rudolf Steiner continues, but in the first place, for your knowledge, it is sufficient what I have already said about it. Naturally, also in reference, as far as the doctor is concerned, in reference to his state of health and state of illness, he is subjected to karma. Precisely then, when this gesinnung is there of which I have spoken, when the therapeutic knowledge deeply penetrates, so deeply penetrates into the human soul as I have said, then it can be said that the karma consciousness always passes over into the pure manifestations of karma. Karma has its two sides. You must so regard the karma that you, whatever is before you as your destiny, relates itself to your immediate previous incarnation. That is the karma, which is the expression for that which your preceding earth life has brought. However, in addition for that, there is a situation in which you must think about the karma in the fifth, sixth, following earth lives, in those earth lives which follow your present earth lives. Then that which now occurs will be an event, and you will experience the results of this event. Thus, when you carry this thought to its end, it will be clear to you that karma is also something which is werdendes, which is developing. That which now occurs adds to karma one after the other. And so a person that understands this can never become a fatalist. Now, simply said, what Rudolf Steiner is saying in this long paragraph is that just as much as we in our present life are under necessity for the karma of the past, we are free to prepare the future, because what we do today, freely choose to do, we will get in a free way the results of it in later fifth, sixth earth lives. That's what he's saying. So it continues. This one direction is the direction according to karma. It gives solidity and security in life. It gives a solid standpoint. The other direction, however, is this, that unequivocally, the will to healing must be there. This will must never be permitted to experience an influencing. The doctor must always work in a so far in a therapeutic way that one is able to say the following: one does everything possible, even when you have the opinion that the illness is incurable. This is the opinion that you must suppress this opinion about the incurability of the illness. You must do everything possible towards its healing. Now this is indicated only in an aphoristic way. The important thing today is this, that we want to be able to work to wake up the soul forces for the study of medicine and to consider it in an esoteric way. And in reference to that, you must realize that for the doctor, also the content of the esoteric must take up a special form, a special betätigung, a special type of activity. The doctor must not remain standing so as to observe the things as they are observed in ordinary life. In science, which does not appeal to special soul forces which man does not possess in ordinary life, but in the contrary, it lays special regard and value on not to appeal to such soul forces. But that way you will never be able to understand the processes in the healing processes involved in any substance or process. These healing forces can only be disclosed by things which enter into our consciousness with the awakening of certain definite soul forces. Therefore, you as doctors will want to awaken step by step these soul forces. In order for this to happen, everything that I've told you in these lectures, you ought to be able to allow them to enter deeply into your soul. Now, in the first place, I will present a certain consideration as it should be presented in medical study. Here, the situation will have to be expressed aphoristically. However, when we have more time, we will develop it in a much more expansive way. Look towards what the form of the bony skull cap discloses to you in its form. We can draw this bony skull cap schematically. Now, look at this carefully and contrast it with what is disclosed to you when you consider a tubular bone, shall we say, of the upper thigh bone. Now, these things do not stand there alone, but the bony skull cap has manifold physical forces which play around it. Even so has the tubular bone the manifold forces which play around it. However, when you gaze upon this tubular bone, its actual beingness will never disclose itself to you other than when you think of it in connection with the whole cosmic all. Now think like this. Here is the tubular bone. Its forces are so that they pass through its length, and in such a way that when the human being position is that which he has acquired in his earthly position. I presume Dr. Steiner, that's Dr. Steiner's way of saying a vertical position. In other words, when you're standing up, these forces that go along the tubular bone, they pass into the center point of the earth. But that is not its most important factor. The most important factor is that these forces that it inserts these forces in the uniting of the middle point of the earth with the moon. Thus that which is so positioned as the tubular bones of the upper thigh or the upper arm or in any other corresponding lying muscle, that is actually inserted and membered in the forces which there unite the earth with the moon. And you can imagine to yourself the following. And Rudolf Steiner draws a diagram. You have here the earth. From the earth, forces blazing up to the moon. And in these forces is everything eingespannt, spun in, which the position comes from the position of the upper thigh when the human being stands or walks. On the other hand, everything which is connected with the sort of orientation which the skull cap has, that is zusammengegliedert, together membered with the Saturn motion. There dominates within it the Umdrehungskräfte, the forces that turn, the revolutionary forces of Saturn. So that one can say, man is formed from below towards the above through the connection of the earth and man. He is abgeschlossen, cut off through that which lies in the Umschwungkraft, the rotating forces of Saturn. But both of these kinds of forces are einander entgegensetzt, opposed to each other. If you look upon the first forces, upon those which lie in connection between earth and moon, so lie in these forces everything that which gives the human being his plastic form, his sculptured form, what builds up the human being plastically. One might say, in these forces there lies a hidden sculptor who builds up the human being in a plastic way. Whereas in the other forces, they proceed as in a continuous abbau, tearing down. There, the material forces through which the human being is plastically built up, there they are auseinander gestülpt, caused to crumble apart. Thus, when you cut off a nail, so you are within the Saturn forces with your scissors. When you eat, so are the components in the direction of the moon. These components, die von der Erde weggehende Richtung, gibt these components. The direction going away from the earth is provided in these components. All the forces which are in the direction of the moon direction are building up. All the forces in the direction of the Saturn direction zerstauben, powder, dust away the human being. Now in this interworking between zerstäuben, the zerstäuben, dusting away, going into just powering away, and plastical building up. In this Wechselwirkung, this interworking, lies the human soul, lies the human spirit. That is where they manifest themselves. Now is that which is outside, and that which what the man has, the human being has in himself, what the human being is what is united with the ether body, that is united with these peripheral forces. United with these building up forces shows itself in a certain connection, silver. So that when you notice that in the human being the building up processes are overpowered by the tearing down processes, as a general rule, you can correct this sort of thing, this Gestaltung, with some sort of medicament which proceeds from silver. However, if you notice that the building up processes are too exuberant, that they hold the human being together in his gestalt, in his form, so to say, they prevent the zerstäuben, so you see that always that you take an appeal to the forces that come from Saturn, from the means which proceed from lead. So that when you know how the person, how a human being is built up, you can get a view of how to relate yourself. Now the important thing is that one is able to enter into such a way of looking at things. Now you must see, my dear friends, the true world, the world of the spirit, it lies actually so that one with correctly has always said that it lies on the other side of a threshold, whereas the human being stands this side of a threshold. It is already necessary that the human being, in order to arrive at a true knowledge, to achieve a true insight in the constitution of the world, he has to pass over this threshold. Now, as a general rule, it is dangerous for the human being to pass over this threshold without anything, without further ado. He just can't pass over it, like just like that. Because if the human being, with his ordinary sense perception permeated the thoughts as he has in ordinary life, if he carries these over into the spiritual world on the other side of the threshold, then he calls forth, produces before his spiritual eye that he so judges the things on the other side of the threshold as one judges the things here. And so he calls forth a richtiges Blendwerk, a delusion, an illusion, a mirage. When we pass over the threshold, we need to possess quite other concepts. That's why there you have the guardian of the threshold, who is the Mana, M-A-H-N-E-R, Mana, the admonisher, who inspires us and admonishes us to first create the ideas which we need in the spiritual world. These ideas are entirely different from that which is appropriate for the physical world. For example, in the physical world, it is a general rule that the part is always smaller than the whole. There's an axiom. But it doesn't apply to the spiritual world. There, the part is always greater than the whole. You can learn this in the example of the human being. When you assume a force which the human being has when he, for example, builds up his body out of the mineral, and then the force relationship, the force connection which has a part of it, so in relationship to the cosmos, that which the organs, which configurates the organs, thus the part of the human being very much greater than the whole human being. From this you must see the possibility that in the spiritual world the part can be greater than the whole. Here in the sense world, the straight line is the shortest path between two points. In the spiritual world, it is the longest. In the spiritual world, when you go forward in a straight direction, you have to overcome the most obstructions. Every other direction is shorter than the straight direction. It is thoroughly clear that when you enter into the spiritual world, you need the opposite concepts of that which is usually present in the physical world. Otherwise, you'll be placed in a great deal of confusion in the spiritual world. Hence, you need courage. You must have courage to pass over the spiritual threshold and place yourself over the abyss. And when you're able to pass over into the spiritual world and pass by the guardian of the threshold and arrive over there, when you experience that in soul and spirit, when you pass through everything consciously in the astral body and the ego, so is everything good. But if you don't make it reinlich, in a puri way, puri, appropriately I presume, if you don't make it reinlich in the ego and the astral body, so you'll have an illusion. And when this blendwerk, this mirage, this delusion, this illusion, zurücksticht, sticks itself back upon the human being, out of that you'll get illness. And always when the human being has something illness, so he has actually the guardian of the threshold in himself, only in a kind of demonic upbuild, demonic reflection. Again I come at the demonic, about which I must speak. And upon what does this rest? Rests upon the fact that when you gaze at the human being with your ordinary perception, everything comes into a Verwirrung untereinander, into a chaotic thing, an interdispersed chaos. On the one hand, you have the ego and the astral body of the human being. Upon the other is the etheric body and the physical body. And all that works bunt durcheinander when you look upon the human being in such a way. Above all things, it is necessary to learn to distinguish that which is of a soul nature in the human being from that which is a corporeal nature. When the soul is within the body and you unshall the human being, then the soul, you look at the human being, then the soul does not appear as it is in reality, because the soul in reality is actually light, licht. More and more you'll have to arrive at the fact that the human soul, when it is separated from the body and you look at it, it is light. It belongs to the etheric element of light. The human soul thoroughly belongs to the realm of the light, and you see it correctly when you see it within the realm of light. On the other hand, the body belongs to gravity, schwerer, weight, gravity. Now, I've already told you how the gravity is overcome, that the brain is much lighter in the brain than it is externally. Just as you divide water into hydrogen and oxygen, so you must divide the human being into soul with its illuminating power, its Leuchterkraft, and the body with its gravity force power. These two elements, the soul with its light power, the body with its weight power, are verwirrend ineinander geschoben, chaotically shoved one into the other when they are looked at, observed with the ordinary eye. Of course of this, you really can't see the nature and being of illness. You do this when you learn how to look at lead, how to look at silver, and how to use the healing forces which are in them. To do all this, you must be able to strengthen your meditative life. And that which I'm now going to write upon the blackboard, you'll have to see as an awakening in your soul. Now, so far I've spoken that you are able to grasp the human being in general in his relationship to the cosmos. Today I want to inscribe into your souls that which will enable you to take a small stuction of gold and to meditatively observe this gold meditatively. I beat it out into a thin sheet and receive, when I so look through it, a greenish. It appears greenish. And this can awaken the same inner experience which is awakened in you in the green meadow, the green plant covering of the earth. But through the fact that I deeply immerse my soul forces in the small, through shimmering gold pletchen, sheet of gold, will also be awakened the opposing soul force. Here I have the greenish shimmering gold laminate. When I aufschauer, look up, look over, hinschauer, look in, wegschauer, look away, I receive, not as the physiological physics people say, I receive only a contrast working, but in all this there lies, in the contrast working, a whole world, the impression of a whole in itself shimmering world. There, all around me, there shimmers, as in a dull red, brownish red, bluish red light all around me. And I know in the moment, in this stuction of gold, which is so small, there lies the whole world. And this small stuction of gold, which I have here in the hand, which shimmers in a greenish way, it is actually a whole sphere. In this small atomistic stuction, in that it is condensed. I cannot have a stuction of gold without that it is a whole sphere. Without that it is a Knotenpunkt out of a sphere. Whole sphere, so that I am able to learn to live in the blue-red, in the blue-violet of a sphere. And when you're able to learn about other properties of the gold, then you'll be able to livingly unite these other properties of the gold with that which maintains in you a kind of soul schau, a seelisch schau, a soul vision. You'll be able, for example, that well-known property, that the fact that the gold does not suffer a uniting with oxygen, you're able to experience this in a fundamental principle way. Of course, you'll be able to say to yourself, the human being lives through the fact that he has the oxygen. He lives through the fact that he has the oxygen and that he works over the oxygen continuously. Now, as far as the etheric body, you have seen that everything is different. It is connected with that which is not anchored in the physical body. The gold is related to the ether body through the fact that it doesn't go into a combination with oxygen. And so precisely through this property of the gold, it is able to work in a healing way in the etheric body. It can produce that which relates itself in the same way as oxygen is in the physical body. Hence, gold is a medicament which can work out correctly from the center of the human being. Receive through this illuminating impression in the dull blue-red light actually the inner truth of the proposition, gold is sun. It is whole, the whole sun. Here you have this one knoten, which shows you simply that in the cosmic space, gold is the sun. And that gold sun is related with the ether body. Now, through such considerations, you can come to understand the properties of a substance and how you can use it for therapy. But you only arrive at it when you take earnestly, not merely as an external phrase, but as a continuous inner demand of the soul, the following mantra, if you like, the following collection of words, the following phrases. And I presume this is what Rudolf Steiner is going to write on the board. In German, Schau in deiner Seele Leuchterkraft. Fühl in deinem Körper Schwere Macht. Perceive in your soul the power of illumination, the power of light. Schau, you perceive in it. Feel in your body the power of weight, gravity. But this must be a real exercise. You must be able to exercise that when your soul will become something which really streams in the distances, your soul streaming light, power of illumination, and you will feel how your body can become something which through its own inner yearning for weight unites you with the inner of the earth. This immense contrast must be a real inner experience in you, and then you will achieve a separation of soul and body. Soul and body, these must be separated. But now the situation goes further. And Dr. Steiner writes this on the board. In der Leuchterkraft strahlet Geistes Ich. In this power of light illumination, there streams, there radiates Spirit I, Geistes Ich, Spirit Ego. Only so will you be able to understand the totality, since the human ego, Aufgate, rises up as an inner experience in your soul. Hence you must also understand the build, the picture, that in the soul, which is radiating out in the cosmic all, there erwächst, there grows out the ego, strahling, radiating that soul which illuminates outwardly. In the power of illumination, there stream, in the lighting power, the light power, there streams the Geistes Ich, the spirit ego. And the other which you must add to that is this. In der Schwere Macht kraftet Gottes Geist. in the power of weight, the power of gravity, their forces, their kraftet, that is in for you have kraftet, the God spirit, divine spirit. Now, it wasn't just a trivial picture, my dear friends, but that which corresponded to the truth when the human being, men of earlier ages, always spoke about the fact that the man, the human body, is a temple of the God of Godhead. Just as true as in the soul, the ego is the ruling principle, when the soul becomes conscious of it, so true is it that in the body it is the Godhead which is ruling. You are not permitted to regard the body as belonging to you, because the body is not of the human being, the body is of God. It is thus so, out of the divine forces there grows the human body. What belongs to the human being is only the soul which is in it. So that you actually, in reality, must be able to see in your body the Werkzeugen, the tool, the channel, Werkzeugen, the means of working of the temple of the God. And this is of immense importance to know in der Leuchterkraft, in the powers of light of the soul, there radiates spirit, the divine ego, Geistes Ich. In the power of gravity, there kraftet Gottesgeist. So you have the strahlet, the radiating of the Geistes Ich, the Geistes Ego in the soul, and you see the word strahlet, the radiating, the streaming, but in the power of gravity, Schwere Macht, there kraftet the forces of Gottesgeist, the Divine Spirit. The Divine Spirit kraftet in the human body, just as the ego is in the human soul. Now you come to the most important thing. Doch darf nicht Leuchterkraft ergreifen Schwere Macht. It is not allowed that the Leuchterkraft, the light force, take hold of the gravity might. When the human being sleeps, so without further ado, it will be clear that he has separated his soul nature from his corporal bodily. He separated it. There, the soul does not take hold of the body. However, when the human being wakes, so it must be that the ego and the astral body dive into the physical and the etheric body. But that nevertheless, an inner separation of the Leuchterkraft, of the light force and the gravity power occurs. It must not be so that chemically a component forms itself out of the light force and the weight force. These must be inwardly separated. They must not mix in together mechanically, or they at all mustn't unite themselves inwardly. They must be able to work side by side in the same space. The weight power of the body towards the downwards, the light force of the soul upwards. Hence, the following proposition is important. And he writes this on the board. Doch darf nicht Leuchterkraft ergreifen schwere Macht und auch nicht schwere Macht durchdringen Leuchterkraft. There is not permitted that the light force takes hold of the weight power, and also not that the weight power permeates the light force. This is only the contrast. However, it must in reality, my dear friends, it must in reality be present, separated in the human being, that which external sense knowledge continuously mixes in together. When you observe the human being externally in sense knowledge, so is everything durcheinander, everything mixed in together. And if the human being really was that which is regarded and looked upon in the usual perception, so he would be always ill. Man can become healthy, but our perception, our sense perception of the human being is always the illness. One sees the human being always ill, but naturally that is Maya, illusion. Of course, in the real essential nature, man ought not to be man should not be as one sees him. In the true nature, Wesenheit, you mustn't mix in together his light force and his weight power. They must be inwardly separated from each other. These are separated, and they must remain separated. 'Tis as if water was so constituted that the hydrogen and oxygen are always separated separated from each other, in spite of the fact that they are inside it. Because in that case, the light force takes hold of the weight power, and the light force goes into the weight power. Lindrufstein writes on the board, den Facet Leuchtekraft die schwere Macht und dringet schwere Macht in Leuchtekraft so binden in Welten ihrer Seele und Körper in Verderbnis sich. If you get this into mixture of the light force and the weight power, this is a Verderbnis, and that's illness. All these things must be taken with the necessary moral impulse. You must feel them thoroughly. So, if the light force takes hold of the weight power, or the weight power takes hold of the light force, then you have to tear away the light force from the weight power through something which, from the ether body, supports which from the astral body supports the ether body through some external substance or a process. Here you get the healing power contained in the healing eurythmy, which reckons particularly with cosmic forces. In healing eurythmy, when you make the consonant exercises, so you are in the moon forces. When you make the vowel forces, so you are in the Saturn forces. And in Heil Eurythmy, in these two kinds of forces, you feel yourself in the cosmos. Let us assume that you establish the fact that in a human being there is a too strong Gestaltung. That is to say, let us say he has a Gestaltung from salts or carbohydrates which he cannot overcome. There's too much Gestaltung in him. Here, the vowel healing eurythmy, which works against the Gestaltenden, is very favorable. Let us assume we have a small child who has the Anlage to stuttering. There are many different causes. However, in stuttering, you have a predominating of Gestaltender forces. And hence, in stuttering, it's best that you could use the vowel exercises in the sequence A-E-I-O-U. And if you have the necessary patience and love, you can accomplish a great deal. When you take together everything that I've given you, these lectures, then it'll be important for you to have this esoteric foundation, which I began to give previously when I talked about the morale of the study of medicine. Under morale, I understand the feeling united to a Verpflichtung, a duty, the feeling together of the soul in, you can, a soul which permeates itself with meditative forces. And if you can get, take these esoteric hints I'm giving you, it'll help your medical study. You will have a finiter, a refined soul force, if you're able to take up all these things which I've told you and allow them to work in your soul. And as a result of that, it'll become painful to you when you observe the way in which modern psychology and physiology and the pathological science exists. It'll be very painful to you, realizing that people are being given stones instead of bread. That when in your regular medical study, they're giving you actually stones, not bread. But you yourselves, out of these stones, will able to fetch something out. Get the whole Gesinnung. You must have a complete Vertrauen, a contrast to the kind and way which we here, together with Frau Dr. Wegmann, are trying to do the medical section of the Goetheanum. Here we are only just a few people who are able to build a bridge from that which is spiritually worked on in Dornach and that which outside in the world has such a strong materialistic power. People in the outside world are judging what we do here and they talk it as a sort of geschwätz, a sort of medical dilettantism they think we're giving here. Something which contradicts everything which for decades has been regarded as the correct thing in the medical science. You can do much for yourself when you follow what Frau Dr. Wegmann and myself are giving in this medical section. And you do a lot for yourself and a lot for the world and for the ill of humanity, the ill people. When everything that you've just heard, just don't take as something passing over, transient, but can be the starting point from something which you can develop up. This sense, my dear friends, we would like to be remain united here, that here in Dornach you can have the center point for your development. Here we have the end of the lecture, and also we have the end of the Christmas course. Lectures for doctors and students of medicine.